Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Spiritual Discourse. In this, you are about to listen an overview of Shaivam and Siddhanta. The title is Schools of Shaivam, presented by Shiva Madhusudanan Kalaichelvam. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Vinnalum Devarkum Melaya Veriyanai, Mannalum Mannavarkum Manbahi Nindranai. தன்னார் தமிழளிக்கும் தன்பாண்டி நாட்டானை பெண்ணாளும் பாகனை பேணு பெருந்துறையில் கண்ணார் கடல் காட்டி நாயேனை ஆட்கொண்ட அண்ணாமலையானை பாடுதுங்கான் அம்மானாய் ஓட்டை மாடத்தில் ஒன்பது வாசலும் காட்டில் தேவதான் முன்னம் கடலடி நாட்டி நான்மலர் தூவி வலம் செயல் வாட்டம் தீர்த்திடும் வான்மியூர் ஈசனே நீரூரும் செஞ்சடையாய் நெற்றிக்கண்ணாய் இலாத்திங்கள் துண்டத்தாய் நின்னை தேடி ஓரூரும் திரியாமே ஒற்றித்து எங்கும் உலகமெல்லாம் திரிதந்தும் நின்னை காண்பான் தேரூரும் நெடுவீதி பற்றி நின்று திருமாலும் நான்முகனும் தேர்ந்தும் காணாது ஆரூரா ஆரூரா என்கின்றார்கள் அமரர்கள் தம் பெருமானே ஆரூராயே கார்புறவும் கருங்கூந்தல் செவ்வாய் வண்ணகை பச்சை கன்னியொடும் தார்கமழ்பும் காந்தளந்தோட் குமரனொடும் மணிசிங்காதனத்து மேவி சீர் பரவுவான் புலவர் நினைந்தன யாவையும் நல்கி சிறப்பின் வைகும் வார்புணல் சூழ்வயல் கமலை தேவர்கள் சிந்தாமணியை மனத்துள் வைப்பாம். தி அபண்டன்ட் கிரேஸ் ஆஃப் திருவாரூர் ஸ்ரீ யஜமானடன கமலவசந்த தியாகராஜசுவாமி and other acharyas have ventured into the 10-day lecture series titled An Overview of Shaivism and Siddhanta with shaivam.org website through them, organized by them. Now at this level, we have entered the 7th episode today, which is titled as the schools of Shaivism, various different schools of Shaivism. Now we all know, as we saw in the first episode, Shaivam means anything that is associated with Shiva, anything which has the essence of Shiva in it. So we have had very many schools which has probably expanded over times from various different countries, neighboring countries of India included, which belongs to various philosophies, but which has Shiva as the central essence in it. So that kind of a tradition has been there into several religions, but Shaivism, which is an extremely age-old and a religion which is steeped down in history of human civilization, we see that Shiva as the central core has been interpreted, the relationship with him, the greatness of Shiva and all that has been interpreted in various different ways to give way to religions which has branched out from what can be called as core Shiva worship. Understanding the Almighty God Shiva and the relationship that the Jivas have with him, the reason for our sufferings, all of these questions which are common to many philosophy has been attempted by various different philosophers, holding on to the fact that Shiva is Almighty, but the relationship with him or the reasons for suffering, the creation of the universe and how things have been here, how do we relate to living and non-living things, how are they connected, how is the balance achieved, what exactly is liberation, these are the questions which goes on to create these differences within Shaivite, various different Shaivite religion. But they are all common on one thing, that Shiva is the ultimate God. Let's first look at Vedic religions. We discussed about the six popular schools of Veda, namely Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Mimamsa, Vaisheshika and the Vedanta schools. How all six of them accepted Veda as the Pramana, that is the ultimate authority or the source book or the code book. But that being accepted, the way it was interpreted had given rise to several philosophies which formulated within itself. Accepting the Vedas, apart from the Vedas, it brought in several other texts which it considered to be extracts and essence of Veda, but changed according to their interpretations. So most of these religions have accepted Veda, but still the way it was interpreted and formulated to create these kind of schools of thoughts or ways of liberation has been there. So interpretation of these great source books always causes these kind of minor, sometimes major changes, but the core in between will remain untouched. So we have these six religions, and even within what is called as the Vedanta school, where the Vedanta Bhagam or the Jnana Bhagam of the Vedas, namely the Upanishads, have been accepted, and there are several acharyas, great thinkers, who have commented upon that also and interpreted the Upanishads also in their own way to give rise to popular schools like the Advaita, Visishta Advaita and Dvaita, so to name a few. And there are other schools which goes into the Bheda Bhedajna Tattvam and all that. So there are many Vedantic schools also. Forget the Vedas, they are voluminous, can be interpreted in these different ways and all. The Upanishads also, though they are equally voluminous, they have also been interpreted through these great thinkers, philosophers, only to reflect in a way that each of it is different in its own way of defining what is the liberation of soul, who is Paramatma, who is the Jivatma or the souls here, the Almighty God, the difference, how we are connected, what exactly is self-realization, the path that you take to achieve it, all of this differs by and large. So that's why, though the Vedantic religions consider three Pravala Pramanas or the three most important works, the Prasthanatraya as they are called, the Upanishads, Brahma Sutra and the Bhagavad Gita, though all these three are accepted by them in common interpretation, why go into Vedas and Upanishads and their differences? Even Bhagavad Gita as a structured work with 18 chapters and 700 slogans, the interpretation varies between these philosophers, which gives rise to various different schools of thought. But accepting that there is a concept of Almighty, and so at least that much at that level, they are clear about it. And in some cases, the definition given is also same, because acceptance is one part, accepting that there is a God is one part to begin with. Next, defining the concept of God, the attributes, the qualities and all that. Or there are also schools which say the God hasn't got any attributes, no qualities. So these differences are there even within the same classification of religions. So it is no wonder that Shiva worship as a tradition has been maintained as a common thought, as a common way of offering to whom we consider as Almighty. But the relationship that the soul strikes with Parameshwara, his role as the creator, the person who manifests into multiple forms, the way he has, the time when he thinks it is, it has reached the end, the yuga or the kalpa, and so destruction process starts, and recreation, how does that start? What is the role of Shiva there? What happens to him? So all of this is attempted to be answered in different ways, which gives rise to various different schools. The natures of this school, as you see, they all come from the common platform. In some cases, the pramanas are the same. In some cases, beliefs, faith aspect, traditions are the same. In some aspects, philosophy is similar with, there are minor changes at a philosophical level too. So these are how these religions are classified into different schools and branches. And that gives rise to the title of today's lecture, various different schools of Shaivite. Of Shaivism. So popularly, Shaivism, as we've seen, it's been there for an unthinkable date. I mean, it cannot be determined the exact time period or a century when the concept of Shiva worship came into being. We are not able to understand or historically prove it, because as we've seen, Shivalinga worship and the forms of Pashupati and all that from at least in Indus Valley goes back to several thousands of years. So it should have taken more time before, several thousand years before that, to have perceived through the blessings of Shiva this particular form, understanding the concept, applying the philosophy and considering the deity there to be Almighty and falling in front of him. Considering ourselves, treating ourselves very humble in front of it, should have started several thousand years before that to reach a level where there were so many terracotta figurines of Shivalingam and different forms of Shiva as Pashupati or the God who meditates and all that being brought into worship in Indus Valley. So it is much beyond the capacity for us to determine a particular century or a time period to understand or finalize as to this was the time probably the oldest form of worship of Shiva came into being. So we are not venturing into that. Probably these are all the reasons why the Vedas in the Upanishads, when they start praising the Almighty, we always say, there is no start or there is no starting point or an end to him. You cannot perceive when he came into being. That's not even there. So as human beings are thought process, our capacity to think, our intellectual tendencies, all that is limited at one point, after a point where it is totally blank, and that is probably where we understand that there is much more than what we can think about, and we start falling at the feet of that thing that exists at that line of difference. So Shiva, coming back to schools of Shaivism, so historically documented schools of philosophies are available for us. The oldest as of now that we get is what is called as the schools of Pashupatam, the Lakulisha Pashupatam as they are more popularly called. You can recall Pashupati from the Indus and Pashupatam as the name of the oldest available school of thought as of now. And how it gave way to more esoteric and differently placed philosophies like the Kapalikas and the Kalamukas. And then you have more structured and intellectually groomed religions like the schools of Kashmira Shaivam, one of the very old and documented branch of Shaivism with code books authored with the Guru Parampara as to who propagated the religion, how it was brought into being and all that. Then another religion is the Veera Shaivas, who are more popular in Karnataka, and we all know how Basava is the most popular figure, but this tradition dates back even before the times of Basavanna. And then you have Shivadvaitam, which is another Vedantic branch which follows the school of Srikanta and how his interpretation of Upanishads and how it was propagated more in the later period by the works of Appaya Dikshitendra. And of course we have the Siddhanta Saiva school, which is even more popular here in South India especially. So these are some of the popular names to call out. But be informed, these are schools that are popular and to an extent with some historic data and works about it and all, but there are several hundred different schools at tribal level, folk level, semi-tribal level and all that, which are still practiced with different forms of Shiva as household deities or village deities, deities for a particular settlement, or deities that are enshrined inside cremation grounds and all that. So in all of this, again, Shiva as the primordial essence of the universe is there, but the way you approach him, the rituals that are prescribed, philosophical interpretations and all that vary. So I'm just picking up six schools, which includes Kashmira Shaivam, Veera Shaivam, Shivadvaitam, Lakulisha Pashupatam and a bit of Kapalika and Kalamukha traditions for today's session. Shaiva Siddhanta will be dealt in detail in tomorrow and the day after tomorrow's sessions. So let's start with Kashmira Shaivam. Historically speaking, the most popular works of Kashmira Shaivam, we start getting it from around the 9th, 10th century. It should have started, of course, before that, but the text works are mostly from that time. It can be rightly called as an intellectual school of Shaivism because there has been a lot of thought process that had gone into interpreting the concept of creation and your mode of liberation. And there is a lot of borrowing from Veda Sutra, from the Yoga Sutras, and yoga as an important part of this school has been accepted. So definitely there has been a crossover of different philosophies that had gone into culmination as Kashmira Shaivam. Though it is called as Kashmira Shaivam, it is not geographically confined to the state of the region of Kashmir as we see it today, but it has been widespread. There have been these scholars who have traveled and debated, proved their authority over philosophy and all that. Technically speaking, Kashmira Shaivam is to be called as the Trika school, because there are three parts of understanding in it, which we'll see soon. So the technical name for it is to be called as the Trika school, and it is a non-dualistic school, which means it does not believe that the Jiva Parabhedam is there. It is probably belongs to the Abheda school. It belongs to the Abheda Tattva school. Though there is an established Guru Parampara, two of the popular names that we should always remember when it comes to the Kashmira Shaivism is Utbaladeva and Abhinavagupta. These are the two most popular names. Abhinavagupta's works are like the foundations for Kashmira Shaivam, which is developed from it. So mostly to understand Kashmira Shaivam in its original form, the philosophy behind it and the school of thought and all that, Abhinavagupta is the author when it comes to understanding the religion through authorized textbooks. And here, it's a very interesting philosophy as it is interpreted there. Pratyaksha Darshana, that's the code, that's the key word, which means the absolute understanding is to discover for yourself, to see for yourself, or more importantly, to see directly. So you just see it to understand it kinds. So this is that's why this is in fact called as a school of direct realization, wherein you get to visualize it both from inside and outside, and the realization is direct from you, for you. It can be, a few scholars call this as a very seasoned spiritual technology with a set of practices that helps you to see things as it is for yourself, rather than a religion. That's why this is, you know, it's not a practiced religion, it's more like a school that can be applied. You can learn it as a technology and apply it, get to practice it as prescribed there, and you know, learn it and realize the ultimate truth. That's why a few scholars call it more like a spiritual technology. And the most essential concept, philosophical concept here is, it starts from Abhinavagupta's concept of Anuttara, that is considered to be the fundamental reality, that is which is the core, the starting point which manifested into existence. What you see around, it is all caused by what is called as the Anuttara, which is nothing but Shiva and Shakti, and third most important component, Spandan, which is nothing but the divine vibrations or the pulsations that comes out. So as I told you, this is called as the Trika religion. So the three important concepts here that comes into play to form what is called as the Anuttara, from which you know, which is like the reality underlying to the whole existence that is seen, is Shiva. Shakti, she is also identical with Shiva, or you know, they, in fact, Shiva and Shakti, they are considered to be the supreme consciousness or the Chit Tattvam, and the divine pulsations or the vibrations, as it is called as Spandan. So Shiva, Shakti and Spandan are the three most important components that goes into making the Anuttara, which is the underlying core nucleus which causes the existence as we see it. According to the traditions, the knowledge of tantras, various schools of tantras, were lost because of the nature of Kali Yuga. Now this is more from the traditional schools as to how Kashmira Shaivism as a philosophy came into existence. So it is said that because of the nature of Kali, where ignorance pervades, where ignorance is there everywhere, the greatest of compiled knowledge, the various source books on tantras, were lost. And it was that time the all-merciful Parameshwara took the form of Srikantanatha, appeared in the Himalayas, in Kailasha Parvata, and he initiated Durvasa Maharishi, out of his compassion, completely transferred his knowledge on these tantras to Durvasa Maharishi. Now this transformation of knowledge is classified into three schools, all three of which were handed over to Durvasa, which includes Bheda. Bheda Tattvam is that where there is no differentiation, where it is non-dualistic. Everything comes from it is all from that one point of origin, so it is non-dualistic. Then you have Abheda, Bheda. This is Abheda, where there is no differentiation. Then you have Bheda, where it is differentiated. The two concepts of, you know, the Almighty and his and the souls are all two different concepts. So the Bheda school is there. Whenever there are these two extremes, always it gives rise to a central path, a middle path, which is here called as the Bheda-Bheda school, which is with and without differentiation. So it is Shiva Srikantanatha in the Himalayas, in Mount Kailasha, initiating Durvasa Maharishi into the tantras which were lost because of the nature of Kali Yuga. How three schools, Abheda, where there is no differentiation, and Bheda, where things are differentiated, and then the middle school, which middle path, which is Bheda Bheda, with and without differentiation, comes into being. And here, all these three schools are propagated through three different tantras. Abheda school, that which has no differentiation, is through Bhairava Tantra. And Bheda Bheda, which is both with and without, is through Rudra Tantras. And finally, that school, the Veda school, is through Shiva Tantra respectively. So you have three schools, Abheda, Bheda Bheda and Bheda, which are propagated through compilation of tantras titled as Bhairava Tantra, Rudra Tantra and Shiva Tantra respectively. So the Guru Parampara for the Kashmira Shaivites starts from Shrikantanatha to Durvasa and further into the schools that propagated these different tantras. Now, in order to propagate this further, to take it over to the people, Durvasa Maharishi, you know, he went on for a very meditation that lasted for a long duration. And he meditated in the hope of finding someone intellectually capable to shift this knowledge, to transfer this knowledge and propagate it. But unfortunately, he couldn't find someone as intellectually sharp as him, equal at least, to transfer these wonderful schools of thought. And that is when he created, out of his conscious, Manasika Putras as we call, he created the sons, of whom first son named Trayambaka was fully into the Abheda philosophy through the Bhairava Tantras. Yeah. So, of the three tantras, Bhairava, Rudra and Shiva Tantras, Bhairava Tantra is for the Abheda school, that which is monistic or that which is without any differentiation. So that school is handed over to the Manasika Putra or the son who was mind-born for Durvasa, called as Trayambaka. So this is the Guru Parampara for, and this Abheda Tattvam is what is interpreted through the Bhairava Tantras, is what is to be understood as the Kashmira Shaivite school of knowledge as we call it today. So the tradition, the philosophy for the Kashmira Shaivites is, we live in, we are created by, and we are all made up of a single, continuous, alive and awake subjectivity. So we are all from that one single subject which is always awake and which is continuous. That alive reality which is available to be directly discovered by us in every circumstance. So that is why I told you this is rightly defined as a technology, because it involves understanding the vibrations from the spandans or the vibrations which are caused from everything around you, because it is all from that single seed or that one single subject, and that is real. And you tune yourself over time to feel it, to get liberated. So this reality which is always available, it is directly available for us to be discovered in every chance possible, because that is our real nature. The nature of the jivas here is that we are connected through these pulsations or the spandans, and every chance that we get to associate with it is something that we should keep utilizing every time. That is to develop a conscious, to strike a kind of a relationship with all that is around you, to understand how each of it is connected, to feel the essence of Shiva and Shakti in each of it. Though each object around you is different, it is all nothing but the diversified manifestations of life. That is good enough a reason to celebrate it, because it has within itself the Shiva and Shakti concept, the supreme Chit Tattvam in it. All these life manifestations around you, though each of it is unique and each of it has its own characteristic, it is all to be considered common, because it is nothing but the diversified manifestations of life. And in some traditions, the world that is around you is considered to be dirty, or it is sinful, or it is ignorant and all that. But the Kashmiri Shaivites adopt a school, they tune themselves to a world which is nothing but, they look at the world as the ornament of Almighty God. It is a part of Him. It is nothing but His own physical manifestation. So, you know, there cannot be anything that is impure here. It is not ignorance that holds you tight here and all that. Now, these are different schools, as I told you. So they have their own school of thought and philosophy. I'm not going to evaluate or argue over it. I'm just representing the religion in the most easiest way possible, given the time constraint. So I'm not look at it from the perspective of the branch of Shaivism that I belong to, or that's not going to be the reason for today's session. So the world here is considered to be a part of the divine physique of the Almighty God. So everything in there is connected, and so we are supposed to look for that spandan or that pulse, the vibration that helps us connect to each of it and see how we are a part of it, and that by itself is self-realizations. And the sense of separation, you know, we feel that we are not associated with something, we are not a part of something. So this is the ultimate cause of suffering according to Kashmira Shaivism. So you know, you feel bad, you start feeling sad, or you suffer because you're not connected to the world. If you're intellectually tuned on your spiritual progress, you're on the journey on your spiritual progress, you tune yourself to understand the spandan or the pulse, which will help you connect to the world in totality. Once you achieve that, you don't feel that you're not connected or you're separated. A sense like that, which is understood as the cause of suffering, will not be there. So we need to get ourselves consciously immersed in the living presence in this world, seeing knowledge and wisdom in all that is there around us. We enjoy the diversity of life, and this continuous journey to feel connected with the world around and seeing that each of it is conscious by itself, understanding it, observing it within ourselves, feeling the pulse, the spandana, and connecting in that way, so you don't feel all alone or you don't suffer separation. You unite with the world, and that by itself is the path to realization. This is a progress. That's why I told you in the beginning itself, this is looked upon as a technology to be applied than a religion to be followed, because there is a lot of thought process and yoga which becomes an integral part. Because you know, to bring in this kind of a mindset and to concentrate so much, yoga is the best way to lose your distractions, to detach yourself from all the distractions and feel the oneness. In Kashmira Shaivism, the different productions of gods have a fundamental aesthetics. Nature is considered to be self-expressive, and as we realize this more, we also become free and very, very expressive in nature. So the absolute aesthetics that you see around in the world, which you know, the kind of rhythm that is followed, the different colors that you've chosen, and you can understand that there is an impact of this on Western philosophies also, how they consider God to be the best artist with a palette which is fully loaded, and how myriad of expressions and colors with which he's created the universe is there. So you know, understanding it at that level and enjoying its aesthetics, appreciating its aesthetics, and feel and developing a feel that you are a part of it, you are into it, you're also within it. So understanding that will help one become self-expressive, and this on a continuous tradition on a long way helps you liberate from yourself, from the bonds that holds on to you. The reasons for sufferings are dissolved for good, and you feel liberated. Now the Pramanas, as far as Kashmira Shaivism is concerned, the most important books here. To begin with, you have the Shiva Sutras, that which are believed to be given out by Shiva himself, and which explains the basic philosophy of Kashmira Shaivism, the Abheda Jnanam, as it is called. And you know how the creation concept is there, the Trika concept is brought in, and the role for us is to understand, realize that we are a part of the universe, which is nothing but the form of Shiva, and the aesthetics here, the rhythmic nature here, the self-expressive nature of living beings around the world around, and how you, with a conscious approach, meditate upon it and use yoga as a practice. And over a long time, over practice, this would bring in unimaginable amount of bliss, which they consider to be anandam that has come out of jnana or knowledge, the self-realization knowledge. And then you have the spandakarika. The spandha, as I told you, is the pulses that you feel, the vibrations that you feel, So the Spandakarika is a Karika work, a compilation of 53 verses on how a yogi can be always tuned, active and alert, more importantly alert, and receive these divine vibes or the Spandana in his daily life. So, you know, what are the activities that will help you observe the Spandana or the vibes, the divine vibes on a daily life? How to be alert and active throughout to start receiving it. And then you have Pratyavijnana Hridayam, another work by Kshemaraja, another scholar, a philosopher belonging to this school post 10th century. He details the principles of understanding that one true self is there. I mean, the true self is nothing but the inner self. It's not the physical body that counts. It's the inner self which is always full of bliss and love. So the journey that is prescribed by Kashmira Shaiva tradition is to understand the inner self, which is full of bliss and love. It's just too compassionate and it is bliss that is overpouring from within. Man is caught by the thought that, you know, he represents to the physical body, which is not the actual case. The inner self is what is to be understood, and the inner self is common to everybody and it is always full of bliss and love. So that one starts understanding, he starts looking out for the same aspect from the others, and then all of this, the looking out for this in the others, is connecting yourself through the pulsating vibes to the world outside. Then Spandakarika, I told you,